Welcome to the Daily Wrap Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So I wanted to begin today with something I had all pre-prepared. I had something in my mind, this whole concept about something that's seemingly grabbing everyone's attention right now. And at the last moment, I just decided that I didn't want to go with that because of some things I'll get to in a second, but more so because I felt like I was in a large way just perpetuating the same problem that I felt like I was trying to address. So I want to begin first with something that I just recently wrote that seems to kind of hit on the nose what, at least to some degree, what I'm trying to get at today, and then we can get into some of the stories for today. So far too much today is seemingly decided for us by those dictating what represents the political stance of either side of the two-party divide. It has become the entire identity of far too many to now associate themselves in every way with the representation of their chosen side in this fight, to utterly immerse themselves in whatever they feel is the official party line. All too often, this immersion is done without the slightest due diligence or critical analysis of the facts at hand, as they already believe themselves to be on the right side, the moral side, the side of the just. Yet this is a very naive view of the world, to think that one side of any ongoing battle, false or otherwise, that is made up of many different people with their own individual desires and motivations, is somehow entirely altruistic, beyond reproach, simply because they are on a given side. Not only is this wildly oversimplified, but it's also historically inaccurate, without fail. There are always those with their own designs, those with a desire to mislead or abuse the trust and belief of those around them for their own nefarious or self-serving agendas. Now, some may say that's a pessimistic view, and it may well be, but it's also the reality we live in, backed up by centuries of documentable fact. This is not to say we should not trust anyone or never believe in anything, quite the contrary. We should, however, always question the motives and actions of those in power. It comes with the job description. It's also our job as the people to hold them accountable in every way and never simply trust that they have our best interests in mind. Just as we can see today, if one is able to pull away from the two-party delusion, that is, every action taken from either side progresses the interests of a select group. And it sure isn't the American people. It's this very illusion of left versus right that allows them to keep us at each other's throats instead of standing back and recognizing that we have been fooled, that they have slowly backed us into a cage, into a corner, telling us it's a wide open pasture. I believe many, in fact, are beginning to see this deception for what it is, but until we can get through to the masses who refuse to accept that they have been manipulated, some for their entire lives, they will continue to have enough control to maintain the facade. That's why it's so important for each of us to continue to illuminate the corner we have been forced into and expose the bars of the cage at every turn, with every opportunity. It's our duty to guide those lost to the other side and help them remain free of the next deception that is no doubt already in the works. We must never give up or lose hope. The simple fact that we are facing so much resistance in general, that our videos are being censored, our accounts being deleted, shows us that we are indeed making progress, and they fear our efforts more than we know. Now, I very recently wrote that, and ultimately, this comes back to a few points for me when we're talking about the new deception trapping people once again, or the idea of how people, not just in power or in politics, but in certain positions, will use the faith and belief of many of everyone around them to progress what they want to accomplish, even if that may be altruistic in their mind, even if they believe in what they're trying to accomplish. Now, I'm not trying to make too fine a point here. I just want that to resonate in general, that concept. And I really want to make the overarching point that even objectively covering a story that could be a psyop or a manipulation and relentlessly making it a continuous focus, again, even doing so objectively and stressing caution and skepticism is still, in a way, falling into their trap by making this story the focus, by disregarding all the other important and incredibly consequential news in favor of the crowd favorite. Even doing so objectively is to some degree what they want. And that's something we have to bear in mind moving forward. And I make an effort to cover anything I feel is relevant to everybody watching this show. But sometimes we have to let our gut guide us and realize that we can't just fall down the trap of what everybody's talking about. We have to be skeptical of everything we're looking at, even things that align with what we know is true, what we can prove is true, just because we want it to be true. Very, very dangerous path to go down. Now, I want to begin with the first story that in a way relates to some of this stuff going on right now. And this is a very interesting story that I was first actually brought to my attention by a video done by Random Rants of Ryan, which he does fantastic work. If you haven't checked out his YouTube channel as well, also stresses skepticism and is very, very open-minded about everything he looks at. Now, this is a pretty interesting story that I wasn't even aware of until I saw this on his channel. And the story actually that I traced it back to is coming from MSN.com as well as a Facebook group that's reporting on this from a Canada-based abuse group. And the article is entitled, I think it's Ottawa Animator, which is Canada, sent to prison on child porn charges. Very, very interesting story here because this is facts. This is a real story. This person's going to jail. And I'm actually surprised that I didn't see it beforehand. I would imagine someone like the Honeybee or people that follow this stuff exclusively, well, they do also, Honeybee does a fantastic job, most likely has covered this to some degree, but I'm not sure about that. But this, apparently he's already been arrested and he's going through the process and he was just charged. And the reason I start with this is because this is something we can prove. This is important because there is a real problem here. And those that have seen this channel, who have followed my work, have read my articles, know that I have stressed this exclusively about how important it is that we recognize the problem going on in Hollywood, in politics, positions of power. Pedophilia, sex trafficking, this stuff is real, ladies and gentlemen. This is a real problem. And in a lot of ways, some things feel like they're trying to pull us away from that with another deception. And this is important to recognize that here's another person that is being charged for it. It's factually and it's happening. So it's a combination of stuff. We have to recognize this is real, but also be very, very careful of the next deception, as I said in the opening. Because they will try to hijack our movements in every possible way. They will try to hijack what we do and what we're talking about and use it against us. That is how these people work. So I'll finish that rant for now. I'll put that away. I just need to stress that point because it's important to me that everybody watching the show and everybody talking about this stuff and who have really been researching this stuff do not get caught up in things that we cannot prove. That's a dangerous way to go. So this story in general, just a quick cover of it, is an artist who helped animate children's TV shows has now been sentenced to 28 months in prison for possessing more than 60,000 images of child pornography and sharing them online. Been sentenced for it. 60,000 images. Tom Wysom, 55 years old, worked for TV productions such as My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, and Littlest Pet Shop, according to IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. You know, this isn't some major embedded elite. I mean, maybe, who knows, he has connections to who, but the reality here is this person works for in the industry creating animation for children's shows, and he's found with over 60,000 images of child pornography. Some that I won't get into details are pretty graphic, of hands being bound, feet being bound, horrible stuff. Very interesting story, and I just wanted to point that out to begin. Props again to Random Rants of Ryan, which is where I first saw this story, for covering this in general and seeing this, that this stuff is happening. It's real. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't be skeptical of things we cannot prove. Moving on to the next story, another important one that I think really cuts to the quick of our rights in this country. I do tend to focus a lot about foreign policy or just what's going on outside of this country. This one, however, comes right back to some of the things I've talked about recently, such as the 100-mile Constitution free zone, which many still don't even think exists or realize exists. This entitled, Ordinary U.S. Citizens Now Surveilled by Air Marshals as part of secret new program. I saw a great article and coverage by this for We Are Change. A lot of different people have covered this story. It's very, very important because this is just like another step forward or back, however you want to look at it, in the escalation of the loss of our rights, or rather the lack of their acknowledging our rights, our inherent rights. As the Constitution does not give us anything. It simply outlines our inherent rights that no one has the right to take away. But it seems that they're increasingly beginning to refuse to acknowledge that we have these rights. And slowly, incrementally, the totalitarian tiptoe, as it's called, is continuing forward. So if you're a law-abiding U.S. citizen, a team of armed undercover U.S. marshals could now be following your next flight, taking minute-by-minute notes whether or not you engage in such threatening behavior as sleeping on a plane, using a phone, going to the bathroom, or possibly talking to other passengers. This secret program is called Quiet Skies and was set up to monitor U.S. citizens with no prior record and who don't result in red flags being raised of any kind at the airport. The people surveilled and followed in this program are, according to a TSA memo, quote, not under investigation by any agency and are not in the terrorist screening database. In essence, the program gives the TSA the option to monitor and track basically whoever it likes for any reason whatsoever, effectively granting the TSA agents a green light to violate anyone's personal privacy. Concerns have been raised by legal experts like Jonathan Turley, a George Washington University law professor, who says that, quote, if this was about foreign citizens, the government would have considerable power. But it's U.S. citizens. U.S. citizens don't lose their rights simply because they're going on an airplane or at the airport or at 30,000 feet above the sky or above the ground. The reality here is that this is exactly like the 100-mile free Constitution free zone. That they are creating these areas where somehow our rights, our inherent rights, no longer apply. And that is a very alarming concept, and it's incremental, so we fail to recognize how drastically different this is from what we think we are supposed to have. They're basically telling you that they can do whatever they want here and investigate you, track you, detain you for nothing. Now in an airport. And they've already slowly brought this about with TSA and the way that they basically molest you and violate your rights all up and down throughout the entire process. So now we've kind of just gotten accustomed to not having our rights in an airport. And now we have this incremental zone increasing throughout the United States around the border where they just don't have rights, which I don't even know how that is allowed and how people aren't marching through the streets. People are born, live, and die in an estate in their entire lives without having constitutional rights. People in New York and Florida, they're inside that zone. They just simply don't have rights where they live. That's a fact. I'll have something in the show notes for you. It's an alarming concept. Predictably, the TSA defended the program when asked and declined to note for the article whether or not the program had been successful in stopping any threats. In fact, it wouldn't even confirm that the program existed. But documents provided to the Boston Globe by the FSA sources confirm that the highly controversial program does in fact exist. So if you're not on any terrorist watch list or you're not under investigation by the federal government, what exactly do armed air marshals look for when a small team of them are watching you as you fly home or visit your relatives for the holiday? Well, here are some red flag trigger behaviors that essentially all passengers are susceptible to. Whether or not passengers fidget, whether or not they're using a computer on a flight, whether or not they stare off into space, face touching, exaggerated emotions. Oh, there, I'm screwed right there. Whether or not a person has lost or gained weight from the information provided to the authorities, implying that they already have this background information, which we already should know, but they're arbitrarily a man walking through the airport and they just pull up a file on you. They already just know whether you used to have more weight or not. Whether or not the subject has facial hair, tattoos, piercings. Whether or not they slept during the flight. Whether or not they used the bathroom on the flight, how they were picked up when they arrive. As air marshals have been instructed to focus especially, actually, on people who have gained weight, have a beard, checked their baggage, and either talk on the phone or have a computer. Almost as if the government has granted explicit permission for the FSA to profile just about anyone for any reason whatsoever. Despite its relative recency, this program is already operational across virtually all major airports today. Interestingly enough, quote, dozens of air marshals have raised concerns about the Quiet Skies program with senior officials and colleagues, sought legal counsel, and expressed misgivings about the surveillance program. So even those within this program are questioning whether this is allowed or even justified, as the things they listed off are basically something that every single person does every single time they fly. The biggest irony, as several air marshals observed, is that the potentially illegal program, which infringes on the privacy and constitutional rights of U.S. citizens, is also being paid for by the very same U.S. citizens. Big surprise, as we talk about this every time, just like the NSA. We are paying for them to violate our rights. It's pretty shocking to see. But that this is a story that needs to resonate with us, and we need to understand that this is how things move forward. And these are the kind of things they don't want us paying attention to. As other things are happening around us and we're getting distracted by other things, these things move forward that have real world constant consequences for the rest of our lives that can really, I mean, you could argue right now that we're at a point that we could barely even, maybe not even come back from. But we need to begin to stand up against this kind of stuff. It's a horrifying concept. Moving on to the next story coming from the antimedia.com entitled U.S. Prepared to Attack Iran with Saudi forces doing the bulk of the fighting. Sounds pretty normal. We've been seeing this happen for quite a while in regard to Yemen. So with all the mainstream media reports that the U.S. is preparing an attack on Iran that we've been hearing over and over from Australian media, from NBC recently saying that it's a foregone conclusion, on Friday, Defense Secretary James Mattis dismissed the idea as fiction. Yet after this, I think a couple of days after this, other U.S. officials have already spoken out again, quoted as saying the attack is currently being considered. So you could ask the question of whether or not this is a obfuscation, which seems like the kind of Trump administration go-to to keep everybody guessing. And we know very clearly that the plan has been to overthrow Iran for a long time, all on paper. It's all there for you to look at if you know where to look. So it's interesting to see them play this back and forth. But there's more to this that makes sense when you realize why James may be saying that it's fiction. The pretext for this war appears to be the ongoing Yemen war, interestingly enough. Last week, Saudi state media claimed that Yemen's Houthi rebels attacked and slightly damaged a Saudi oil tanker. The Saudis have previously alleged that Houthis are tied to Iran, which you could make the connection there to some degree, and U.S. media is treating this as some sort of transference and outright reporting that Iran attacked the Saudi oil tanker. Not the Houthis, but Iran attacked the oil tanker, even though no one alleged that that even happened. But you could also make the justifiable claim in regard to the Houthis and Yemen in general that they have every right to attack that Saudi oil tanker as they're being annihilated, literally genocidal Saudi Arabia backed by the United States is murdering people at unprecedented rates. And the moment they strike back, it's worthy of war. Time to attack Iran. Seems pretty interesting the way this seems to always play out. Now, since the U.S. has spent years presenting oil security as a reason for war with Iran, they are considering using that excuse in this context. Officials say that this would be mostly a Saudi-led attack. That sounds familiar. With Saudi Arabia and its allies doing the bulk of the fighting and relying on the U.S. for support. Officials say this would require a long-term military effort against Iran. Seems like exactly what they've been trying to get. The U.S. expectations that they might keep their involvement limited to a support role appears particularly unrealistic, given how much the same Saudi-led coalition has struggled to conquer Yemen. And conquer being the key word there, because that's exactly what they're trying to accomplish. And the U.S. is directly involved. Absurdly, U.S. officials were still insisting, as recently as a few days ago, that they are not interested in regime change in Iran, which just seems patently absurd. When you've seen people like Bolton and Rudy Giuliani openly saying exactly that, literally exactly that. It just seems very striking to see that this is the back and forth. And even, interestingly, breaking news actually from today, Trump just stated at a conference that that on Monday he's willing to meet with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani with no preconditions, he said. Exactly 1 week after he blasted them with a fiery all caps threat to basically over the back and forth. And we actually seen Iran respond as well, going back and forth. It wasn't just Trump. But it's interesting to see this come out actually after we've seen the kind of opposite response to people like North Korea and other places in the past where there's no agreement to meet unless they bend the knee before they even come to the table. So it's interesting to see this play here. It seems that the U.S. policy is weakening to kind of the resistance from the rest of the world in regard to Iran and then pulling out of the nuclear deal. Maybe Trump realizes he was manipulated over the information there. We don't know, but it's interesting to see this. He said, quote, I would certainly meet with Iran if they wanted to meet. I don't know if they're ready yet. So interesting development. It kind of does seem like a difference of policy when you hear first what the media is reporting, which shouldn't shock us at all, as they basically report whatever progresses their agenda. Clearly, they all want war in general, war with Iran, war with North Korea, war with Syria. But then we also see the difference in the words coming from John Bolton's mouth, Rudy Giuliani's mouth, Mike Pompeo's mouth, and then from the president's mouth. So interesting to see how this plays out. Ultimately, the takeaway is we know that generally the real rulers of this country, the real oligarchy, absolutely wants war with Iran, or at the very least, a regime change to install the MEK. Very clearly. If you want more information on that, check out some of my previous shows. I'll try to remember to put it in the show notes. I always forget when I'm doing the live ones. Nonetheless, it's an interesting dynamic here to see how this is playing out. And again, like I said, ABC is reporting this as it's already been confirmed that they are planning to attack nuclear capabilities of Iran. It's done. So very weird to see this back and forth, but we'll keep on this and let you know how it develops. Moving on to the next story coming from the globalresearch.ca entitled The United States is the only remaining colonial power. Perfect transition from the story we were just talking about. But this is specifically in regard to South America. This is by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Now, he does write some pretty interesting things kind of all over the map sometimes, but this I found very, very relevant. And I've been talking about Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Ecuador, specifically in regard to WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. And the way this is written is very, very profound, and I wanted to include a couple of notes from this specifically. So the United States government has never allowed independent governments in Latin America. Every time people elect a government that represents them instead of U.S. economic interests, Washington overthrows the elected government. Marine General Smedley Butler told us this, as many others have, in fact, as actually recently just did a show about. There's no doubt about it. This is the way this works. Currently, Washington is trying to overthrow the governments of Venezuela and Nicaragua and has, in fact, bought off Ecuadorian government with oil purchases and the usual personal bribes. Evo Morales' government in Bolivia is also targeted by Washington. The Obama regime succeeded in removing the reform governments of Honduras, Argentina, and Brazil. It's interesting how so many people don't know these things, as the United States is essentially colonializing South America as well as many other places around the world. Reform governments in Latin America, except for Castillo's Cuba, always leave themselves set up to be overthrown. They foolishly or impotently permit Washington's agents, such as the National Endowment for Democracy, the NED, the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, and various other so-called NGOs, whose purpose is to maintain Washington's control and overthrow every government that escapes control, to organize and fund opposition groups and media that work hand in hand with Washington to reinstall a Washington compliant government. James Corbett did an excellent show about this, understanding what NGOs actually are, calling them a Trojan horse. And that's why so many groups have effectively kicked them out of their country, such as Russia, and they get demonized for it. But it makes perfect sense. China's one of them as well. Washington has pretended forever to be a great friend and protector of democracy. But every time an independent government comes into existence in Latin America, Washington simply overthrows it. In 2015, Barack Obama, America's first black president and, quote, great friend of the oppressed, as he was called, citing, quote, the unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States posed by Venezuela, signed an executive order and imposed sanctions, which we've also covered a lot on this show and in the past. Obama's excuse was the Washington incited violence, just like we're seeing in Iran right now, that led to the arrest of some of those committing the acts of violence. Washington quickly termed the criminals Washington had incited political prisoners and called for dialogue instead of silencing critics of the arrests or with arrests. Washington declared the arrests of those committing the acts of violence to be human rights violations by the Venezuelan government. So in other words, the Venezuelan government was violating Washington's human rights to overthrow the Venezuelan government. The fake stream media reported this with a straight face. And as the author finishes in this article, a government that has no shame whatsoever in telling the most transparent lies while actively trying to overthrow a democratically elected government is a government that deserves universal condemnation. Yet the world is too well paid off or scared to open its mouth. That speaks for itself. And I truly think that we need to be more aware of what's being done in our name around the world. Colonialism is a pretty good way to put that. The U.S. empire is really overthrowing countries for profit, control, and power. And we have to recognize that. And at one point, and you like to assume that the people had a little bit more involvement in these choices. But as it runs today, we're not involved at all. We don't do anything. They make these choices independent of the American people and for very, I would argue, reasons that don't even connect to the United States at all. So that's something we need to continue to do more research on and spread the word. I think Ecuador is a very important example to note on, especially as regard to Julian Assange. And as we just recently saw the flip after they basically bribed them with all kinds of different things. It's a very profound concept. But Venezuela, Nicaragua, I've been talking about these for the last month. It's very clear what's happening there. And there's a lot of great journalists out there that have been covering this much longer than I have, as I'm more of a commentator and aggregator, but this is important for people to recognize. As always, do your own research here and come to your own conclusions. I would believe it's pretty hard to come to any other conclusion when you really see all the information in front of you. Moving on to the final story of the day, and one that I've also covered and promised to follow up on, entitled Israel Intercepts Freedom Flotilla Bound for Gaza. Now this is definitely one that I promised to follow up on, and just as we expected, it's been taken. And I don't think that's much of a shock to us, but I felt it was important to you know, pay homage to these people that are trying to do this, as well as continue to highlight the plight of the Palestinians and what's really going on there, as people simply try to bring them aid in their time of need. So Israel yesterday intercepted a Norwegian ship sailing with the Freedom Flotilla, I always want to say flotilla, en route to the besieged Gaza Strip. The ship called the Al-Awda, I don't want to mispronounce that, but I think it's Al-Awda, A-W-D-A, or just simply meaning return, was attempted to break the naval blockade of Gaza, which has been imposed on the enclave by Israel and Egypt since 2007. Again, to realize how long this has been going on, how long they've been trapping people in and people from coming in. It's pretty horrifying. The Israeli Navy intercepted the ship some 60 nautical miles from the coast in international waters. That's also crazy to think about how far that they're doing this. After issuing warnings that the ship was in violation of the blockade, somehow in violation of the blockade, 60 miles out international waters. Clearly, they've been waiting for this. I mean, they read the news, too. They knew they were coming, and they sought them out, is what, to me, that seems pretty clear. The vessel is now being towed to Ashdod in an Israeli port town north of the Gaza Strip. On board the Al-Awda were over 20 international activists and politicians, two of whom are believed to actually be Israeli citizens, which, again, goes to the point that not all Israeli people or all Jewish people are evil and bad. It's more about the government, Zionism, the reality behind what's going on there, just as all Americans aren't evil because of the actions of their government. The ship was also carrying humanitarian aid, about $15,000 worth of medical supplies destined for Gazans, who are basically some 2 million inhabitants, as far as I understand it, which is pretty crazy to realize. They're trying to simply get in just $15,000 worth of medical supplies to help these people, and they simply won't allow it. A spokesperson for the ship to Gaza, Norway, the Torsten Dahl, said that the Freedom Flotilla coalition called on the Norwegian government and relevant international organizations to act immediately. Dahl added, quote, "The international community must assume its responsibilities and demand that Israeli authorities ensure the safety of those on board, the speedy delivery of our gifts to the Palestinian people in Gaza, and an end to the illegal blockade of Gaza," which the second two aren't going to happen. And I understand why they're asking to ensure their safety, because we've talked about in the past, one of the flotillas of the past, years ago from Turkey, there were actually activists and people that were killed simply trying to bring aid to Gaza. No weapons. They were a ship of peace, and they were killed by Israeli soldiers. That's a fact as well. In a statement, Israel said the ship was being detained according to international law, and that, quote, "the activity ended without exceptional events." It added that those on board the ship were told any humanitarian equipment can be transferred to Gaza through Ashdod port. Of course, just hand it over to us, and we'll make sure it gets to them, because we've seen how well that works out so far. Hansen also explained that over the and above intercepting the flotilla, Israel has systematically criticized and worked against their efforts. She says, quote, "one of their strategies in the event of interception is to prevent the media from covering what is happening," just as we saw the recent law pass where they're no longer allowed to film the IDF. "They also try to convince the world that we are terrorists," likely referring to claims made by some Israeli media outlets that the flotilla activists are affiliated with Hamas, of course, which currently governs the Gaza Strip, always pointing to Hamas as their reflex excuse for all of the atrocities they're committed. Now, this is a story that's important in general as we continue to point these things out around the world, both our loss of rights at home and what's going on in our name around the world as the U.S. directly supports what's happening here in Israel, what's happening in Yemen, what's about to happen in Iran, what's going on in Syria. This is happening in our name, people, as Americans. Those of you watching outside the United States, also, you know, do something about this, speak out about it. Take action to stop these things from happening. But I would argue that Americans in general have more of a responsibility to stand up and speak out about these things that should not be happening. And again, I think it's important that we continue to stand back and not be caught up in things that might be leading us astray. It is so important that we maintain integrity might be the wrong word, but the point here is that we need to wait for evidence before we move forward with any kind of claim. Or, you know, research is important. But so many things today we know have been, looking back on the past is the best way to look at it, that we know that they have infiltrated things we're trying to accomplish and led the movement astray. Just like I warned with the 2016 election, just like I warned with what's going on with QAnon, these things are basically, they took hold of the charge of the people an actual awareness happening. People are indeed waking up for many different topics, and they are looking around for something. Action, somewhere to go, action to take, people to watch and follow. And what they do is they recognize that, they come in, and they make something happen to lead you back into the fold. This is what we need to watch out for. So anytime something comes out that seems too good to be true, or possibly leading us back into something without any information to surround it, we need to be skeptical and not follow it down the path. It's a very dangerous way to go. Doesn't mean those claims might not be true. We should acknowledge them. We should follow them. But do not follow it mindlessly without knowing what's truly going on. And that's where I'll leave you today. I really think it's important that we keep that information and we report on all this information. There's a lot of important stuff going on around the world. So for more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.